A lot of good things are going on, but we also live at a time when there are some things that we find very disturbing. Unfortunately, many of our children are born and reared in homes that do not know God. And when the children go to school, God is not mentioned. Rather, God is often ridiculed. And our children are taught that God did not create us. He did not create the world. But rather, we're here just by chance. And as a result of that absence of the truth about our Creator, our world is turning further and further away from God and living a life that indicates that Satan is gaining a stronger foothold every day. Fortunately, there are some people in our world who are trying to change that back to the way it should be. And our guest speaker this morning is one of those individuals. Randall Hunter has taken it upon himself to try to make God known again to our children and to recognize Him as our Creator and to teach them with science, but also with the truth about how we really got here and what our life's purpose should be. Randall has been in our community for several years. He has worked with the Owosso congregation as the one in charge of their School of Biblical Studies for a period of about 5 years. And he is currently working with the church at Catoosa. But during that time, he is working with congregations in numerous places, teaching them how to set up schools for children to come in to learn about God and apologetics, as we refer to it. In other words, the truth about our existence. Randall visited the elders about 5-6 weeks ago, explained to us what he's doing. And the elders thought it would be beneficial for us as a congregation for him to share what is taking place and to share with us the opportunities that we can have to be a part of what he is doing. So we are privileged to have Randall here to speak to us this morning. Randall.
If I were to ask you to take out a piece of paper and a pencil and to spend the next few minutes writing down characteristics, things that we know about God, I imagine that you could spend quite a long time writing down those topics, those characteristics of God. Some of you would write the word holy. Some of you would write the word just. Some may use the word omniscient, omnipotent. Some may use the word compassionate. There's a lot of words that would be written down in this group, but I wonder how long it would take for us to write down the characteristic of God and what God wants for you and I to have, the idea of joy. This morning, as we introduce what was being talked about in the introduction, I want us to use some passages that talk about the joy that God wants for you and I to have, the joy that God wants for the world to have. And so we're going to look at some passages along the way before I get in and introduce the topic of Made in Six. I want you to think about, as we start this morning, and I appreciate the invitation to come and to be with you. I've got these passages up on the screen, but I'll invite you to turn your Bibles along with us. If you go to Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, this is at the completion of the first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas have been out. They have gone on the first missionary journey, as we call it. They have visited places. They have established the Lord's church. They have taught those, and there have been many who have become Christians. And then they return back to the exact same place from which they left. They come to Antioch again. And in Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, we read these words. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, They reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. I appreciate the opportunity this morning to come and to share some of the good things that are happening within the Lord's church here and around the world. If you go forward just a few verses, you come to chapter 15 and verse 3, and we read these words. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. There we see the idea of joy. Members of the Lord's church hearing about the works that are taking place, hearing about conversions that are taking place all around the world at that point in time, the first missionary journey. And it filled the congregations, it filled Christians with joy. I will invite you sometime to take a look at the book of Matthew. We're going to briefly mention this morning, but I would invite you to take a look at the book of Matthew and to find the six occurrences that the word joy is found. We won't have time to develop these at all this morning, but I want you to think about the first time in the book of Matthew that we read about the joy that God wants for us to have. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10, we are reading about Jesus being born on this earth, and we read about the wise men, and they're seeking out Jesus. And verse 10 says, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy." Why did they rejoice with joy? Because they knew that the one that they sought out, that there was one that was going to be bringing salvation. That had been promised all throughout the Old Testament. And they understood that. And the news of Jesus being born and his location brought great joy. We'll park the joy for just a moment. And we'll start to introduce some hindrances to our joy. I don't know if you know ApologeticsPress.com. Apologetics Press. This is an organization in Montgomery, Alabama, that is run by faithful brethren of the Lord's Church, and it is the idea of Christian apologetics. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Always be ready to give an answer. Always be ready to give a defense when somebody asks for you the reason for the hope that is within you." That word answer or that word defense is the Greek word apologia. Always be prepared to give an answer. And so that's what Apologetics Press whole philosophy is about. That's what we are as Christians, always being ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. On their website, this was about 3 years ago, coming out of COVID, there was this article that they have by Brother Kevin Kane. Why are we losing them when they leave for college? There's a QR code up there. It's a very lengthy article, but I would encourage everybody that has the ability to scan that and to read it later on to take a look at that article. But I want to give you just an overview of the answer to that question. Oftentimes today we say, well, our church buildings are just too dark. Our preachers use too much scripture. We just aren't in tune with younger people. But that article goes on to say that's not the reason why we're losing our kids when they go to college. Every one of us as parents are concerned about that. Every one of our elders are concerned about the fact that we are losing our kids to the world. Why are we losing our kids when they go to college? Well, the answer is, in that article, is that we haven't lost them when they go to college. We have lost them even before that. Statistics that are pointed out in that article by Barna Group, which is a religious organization that takes a look at church statistics, it says that we are losing them even as young as junior high and elementary school. The reason that we are losing our children, according to all of the studies of some 25,000 statistical parts of that study, that we have not helped our children to be able to defend their faith, specifically when it comes to the Genesis 1 through Genesis chapter 11 accounts, the biblical account of creation and the biblical flood. There is an attack, as Brother Bob mentioned, on foundational truths of Scripture. And so when we get into those Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the world out there is attacking the faith of our children and anybody's children and saying that's not what took place. There's no way that there was a God in heaven who could literally speak everything into existence in a literal 6-day period of time. And so that's attacked. sometimes even within the home. But we know it's attacked in the media. We know it's attacked in our schools. We know it's attacked by science. But also the biblical flood, the idea of dinosaurs, the idea of a young earth, all of those are being attacked. And so that article that is talked about, that if we have not helped our children to be able to defend from Scripture, always be ready to give an answer, always be ready to give a defense. Sometimes we can do it with Scripture, but sometimes we run into those who don't believe Scripture, so we have to start somewhere else, and we start with science. And so as we have these hindrances to our joy, we also remember another time that we read the word joy in the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 20, this is the parable of the sower. We can't look at that in detail, but we remember what that was all about. Jesus was telling a parable. He was telling about a man who would go out and he would scatter seed. And in verse 20, as Jesus is explaining that parable, they didn't understand it when he said it, so he had to explain it to them. And as he explains the parable of the sower to them, he says in verse 20, "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who received the word, and immediately he receives it with joy." Folks, we think about what our God wants for us to have. He wants us to be a people of joy. He wants us to be a people who are spreading joy. And the idea of the sower going out and spreading seed, and there were those who heard the word being spread, and they received it with much joy. Now, with that said, with that article 2.5 years ago, as I read that and was taking a look at all of the things that were going on in the world coming off of COVID, we were looking at how we could once again get the School of Biblical Study up and running. I said, why are we not using materials that we already have from Apologetics Press? Why are we not using that and offering the joy that we have, the good news of Jesus Christ and God and His creation? Why are we not offering that to the communities in which we are living? And so we started offering what we call Made in Six Christian apologetics classes, Christian evidence classes. Of course, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11 is the basis of this class. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Simple foundational truths that are being attacked. And so what I want us to do for just a few moments is I want to share with you how we have started over the last 1.5 to 2 years, and it started up at Owosso and it's gone to Catoosa, where we're doing it in the Tulsa area. But for the last year, as I left my role at the School of Biblical Studies to specifically focus on this, I have been sharing all over the country, all over the world with congregations about how they can use these kind of classes to reach out into the community. And I'll share with you the successes that are going on here in just a moment. But I want to share with you, because people say, well, Randall, some of that is just as simple as from dogs, hogs, and frogs. Those are early readers. Those are sight words. How do we take somebody? How do we come and invite people into our buildings? How do they take them from hogs, dogs, and frogs? God made hogs. God made dogs. How do we take them to somebody who is being in Christ? I want to share with you this morning exactly what I shared with your eldership, and we call it How to Use Apologetics Press Materials in Our Evangelistic Efforts. We are people who want to be evangelistic because our Lord has called us to reach out into a world to go. We have tools because of our faithful brethren at Apologetics Press who have made this very simple to do. I want to start by sharing just some results over the last 1.5 years. When we offer these classes, again, the first time that we offered them at Owosso, I had the ability to be able to teach 5 different classes at a time. And as we made these available to the community, and some 95% of those who come have no association with the Lord's church. Many of them have never heard about the Church of Christ, and they've never been inside of our buildings. But as we started to introduce those, that first time I offered them there at Owosso, we had almost 100 students from throughout the community. First time, hey, we are going to have a class on Made by God. We're going to have a class on Designed by God. I'll share those in just a moment. But as the last 1.5 years has unfolded, and as we have been sharing with anybody that will listen, there are now thousands of students and thousands of parents, or hundreds of parents probably, who are attending. We make sure that parents are invited to sit in these classes. Literally thousands of students are attending or have attended some of these Made by Six classes. The reason that I'm here today is because two of your young ladies, they traveled from their location here and they started to come to a class that we offered in Owosso. We have people that are driving an hour and a half to come and to participate, make sure that their kids hear these foundational truths of God's word. But thousands are attending these Bible classes in our buildings. First time they've been in our buildings. What are they doing when they're coming into our buildings? They're seeing materials that are placed around the building, and they're picking up materials introduced into the New Testament church. First time they've heard about the Church of Christ. First time that they've picked up materials that are out there along with what we pass out in our classes, but the first time that they're picking up tracts and they're taking them home and they're taking some of these doctrinally sound materials back to their denominational families. I'll share with you in just a moment what is taking place with that. But then we also have those kids who are coming to our Tuesday or Thursday or Friday or Monday evening class, where whatever it's set up, they are then coming to our normally scheduled Bible classes. And then they're sitting in this with worship and they're listening to the New Testament church being taught, the gospel of Jesus Christ being taught. And because of that, Bible studies are being set up, and Bible studies are being conducted all over this country based on hogs, frogs, and dogs. God made animals, God made birds, because we are introducing them to foundational truths. As we have set these courses up, we don't ask congregations to report anything, but because of the excitement, people do call me and say, "Randall, you know, we started classes a couple months ago and we've had a couple of Bible studies and there was a conversion that took place. And at last report, over the last year and a half, there are now some 16 that have been converted." Now, we're not talking about converting kindergartners and first and second graders, but we're talking about converting parents who are sitting in those classes. Because this is a door opening opportunity that we have. Congregations are being edified. Sometimes there's congregations that we are working with. There's some congregations that are, especially coming off of COVID. We know what COVID did. It shut down a lot of congregations. A lot of congregations were almost ready to shut doors, and unfortunately there are some, even within the Tulsa areas, we have congregations who are no longer open since COVID. But we've also got smaller congregations who said, "This is an opportunity for us to do some things. This is an easy opportunity to open up our doors to the community." And so we've got a congregation over Contusa now who was coming off of COVID. There was 12 to 15 that were in-person meeting. They were basically given up. I asked the members, could we host these classes? And now some year later, we have 45, 50 people that are gathering on a Sunday morning because the membership of that congregation has been once again edified, and we are helping them to reach out and be involved in evangelistic efforts. Members are involved. And we'll talk about how, if the congregation here decides they want to be involved with something like this, how each of us can be involved in a very, very easy way in this evangelistic effort. So those are just some results. There's a lot of different things. And then people ask these questions as we start. Well, who are these classes intended to reach? Well, they're intended to reach anybody that will attend. But we started because Owosso had a pretty big homeschool area. We homeschool. My wife runs a homeschool running club. And so we had a lot of kids who we knew had schedules that would allow them to come on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so we started offering to the homeschool community there in Owosso, because the denominational groups, they were offering Bible classes through their co-ops, and they were charging $800 to attend a Bible class at a co-op. We said, "Well, we don't charge in the Lord's church for reaching out and sharing the gospels." So we started offering these free courses, and we started Tuesdays and Thursdays. We had three classes on Tuesday. We had three classes on Thursday. We started at about 9 o'clock. We ended at about 1 o'clock each day. But it has expanded to anybody that has an interest in bringing their children to these courses. And so what we've done, not just to focus upon homeschool groups, we've started to expand to have Dad and Me Science and Scripture Nights, where we use STEM and biblical truths to talk about bioluminescence and how our Creator has created these wonderful designs of creatures with bioluminescent capabilities. And so tying into that, we're offering STEM robot buildings and how we can build a bioluminescent robotic bug, which fits right in. But the draw has been very, very large on all these. So you can do whatever you want, but it is intended for K through 12 students, because that's what the material is. When do we offer these classes? Well, as we have helped congregations, every congregation is different. Some offer them on days of the week. Some offer them as after-school programs. Some replace vacation Bible school programs. Some use summer programs. Some do special workshops where they just offer one class. Every congregation is different. Every congregation of the Lord's church is autonomous. They make decisions on how they want to do things. We just offer suggestions. How do we advertise? How is it that we got that first time 100 people, 100 kids plus their parents to come to those classes? How is it that now there's literally 3,000 to 5,000 students all over the country who are coming to these classes and their parents are coming to these classes? Well, the first thing that we did as part of the School of Biblical Studies, we had this little brochure that was just made with all the classes that we were going to offer. We put it into the hands of our members, and we let our members take that out as an evangelistic door-opening opportunity, and they delivered it to any kid that they could see in their neighborhood. Maybe they had children that were family members. But one of the most successful ways is as simple as making a post on social media. Now, here in the area, where we have Owosso and we have Catoosa, where we offer classes on a regular basis, I make one post on our Facebook page. But I want to share with you what congregations who are becoming involved in this are doing. Just recently, the Neosho congregation, the Hillcrest congregation in Neosho, Missouri, they decided that they wanted to offer these courses to reach out to their community, to create inroads with people who had never been in the Lord's church. And they said, we're going to have the earliest level class. And they went back to the level one, dogs, hogs, and frogs, snails, quails, and whales. You know, that's simple sight words. But they turned that into Bible classes. And I mentioned them because what they did is they said, here's how we're going to do this. We're going to make a post on Facebook. We allow them to set up a Made in Six back, or slash Neosho. Other congregations are doing the same thing. We want success, and so if you want to piggyback off of what we're doing, Made in Six Sand Springs, Made in Six Tulsa, however it may be. But on Made in Six Neosho, they put this class out. We are getting ready to have our first round of creation-based science classes for kindergarten and first grade students. It's going to be at the Neosho congregation. It's going to be on these dates. Within about 3 hours, they were tracking down the gentleman who was doing their registration page and said, how do we shut down the registration page? Because what they had done is every member of the Lord's church there in Neosho, if they had social media, they shared that post. On this page right here, I think you'll see this was early on, 57 shares. Neosho is a town of about 12,000. They said, how are we ever going to have enough students to come to these classes? Within 3 hours, they're calling their guy that's running their registration page and saying, hey, we got to shut this off. We've got too many people that are wanting to come to these classes. So that was on a Thursday. On Sunday morning, they got up and announced, and I listened to the announcement. They said, hey, our Made in Six class that we were excited about having, we had to shut down registration because there was just too much interest. Well, that's a great thing. Now they realize it does work. It is as simple as putting these kind of biblical scientific truths that will help our children be able to defend their faith and to grow their faith. And the world is going to be joyous to come and listen to that word. Update, we've reached capacity for this free Bible class. Folks, it is as simple. Each and every one of us can be involved in sharing evangelistic door-opening opportunities by a simple post on Facebook. This is what's taking place. This is what we're recommending congregations do. Yeah, you can put booklets in people's hands. Usually we take those from the building, we put them in our truck, we leave them there, and we forget to pass them out. They set a one-hour time period. Okay, Monday morning, we're going to have a prayer together, and we are going to all send out a Facebook share of what we've put out. And they have now 20, before they can shut off registration, they've got 20. They've got a waiting list of 30 just for this first class. Now, what do we do when they start to come? I will tell you that no place that this has been done with an effort from a congregation has there not been success with those desiring to come. And again, the majority of those who are coming are not associated with the Lord's church. They're coming into the Lord's church for the first time, and they're sitting at the feet of New Testament Christians teaching biblical foundational truths. If God said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, does that not fall through all the way to the New Testament when it comes to what must I do to be saved? We're teaching what God says is what God means. So when they come into the classes, when we set these classes up, and no matter what it is, that the time that we're having it or what class that you're offering, you may decide that you just want to offer one class. You may decide that you're really brave and you want to offer all six or eight classes at the same time. You can do that. But when they come in, the key is this is a door-opening opportunity. We're not done by just getting in into the classes. We could have classes. That's a success. But what are we doing with that? We are trying to take them from hogs, dogs, and frogs to how they can become a New Testament Christian. And we do so by making sure that they have access to material. And so when they come into the building, we make sure that we have materials all over that building. We've got it in our fellowship room, wherever we've got class. We've got it in the classrooms. We may have it out in the hallway. And we put materials from our brethren, Apologetics Press. And again, I'll share that here in just a moment. But we also put things like, let me introduce you to the Owosso Church of Christ. Let me introduce you to the Catoosa Church of Christ. And it's a booklet that they can pick up because they've never been into our buildings. They don't know what we do when we come here on the first day of the week to worship. They don't know that we have Bible classes for kids. They don't know what it is that we have to offer to them. And so we have little pamphlets. Let me introduce you to the Owosso Church of Christ. We have Bible study offerings. Again, I'll talk about that, but we have materials all over the place. And again, specifically from Apologetics Press, we have, I'll mention this slide real quick and then I'll show you. This slide is nothing except a bunch of feet, except this is a Reason and Revelation magazine, which is intended for adults. And so we make sure that they pick these up as they come in, and we have parents who are sitting in these classes. God made dogs, God made frogs. They're not just listening to that, but they're sitting there and they're reading scientific evidence which backs up Scripture. Because Scripture is truth. Science fits into Scripture. Now, I show that because this is something that happens often. Parents sit there, they read through these. We're making sure that we're watching which materials they're picking up because that allows us then to ask the questions that we want about the potential of setting up studies. But this is what happens time after time. Parents pick up that material as we lay it out. We change out material often, and they're picking up new materials each and every week, whatever those may be. Now, here's the kind of materials that I would encourage you to make sure that you have. If you're not familiar with Apologetics Press, go to apologeticspress.org. Take a look at the materials that they have to offer. This is the Discovery magazine that they intend for ages 8 to 12. Each month, this magazine comes out, Discovery, Scripture, and Science for Kids. And it focuses on different creation animals, the specific of the octopuses in this one. The next month, it's going to come out, and it's going to talk about the kingdom of Christ. 8, 10, 11, 12-year-olds are going to pick this up, and they're going to start being introduced to the kingdom, the church of the Bible. They're going to be introduced to foundational truths of Scripture regarding the Lord's church. And so we have these out on a weekly basis where they pick these up. Then we have the Reason and Revelation magazine, which again is intended for parents. That is a Christian evidence magazine for adults. If you're not familiar with that, you would benefit from that. Great thing is Apologetics Press offers it for free as a digital download. You can go to Apologetics Press, and both of these are available. And so we have these kind of materials, but that leads me into this. Every time we have a new class start, one of the Reason and Revelation magazine comes from about 2 years ago. That's the QR code to the digital page. But the title of that one is Young People See Christianity as Anti-Science. That's the exact reason that those parents are bringing their children, because they want to hear what the Bible has to say about all of the attacks from the scientific community. And we've got to realize that Scripture says, God says, I want you to examine my creation. God is the creator of science. And so when we look at science, it fits within Scripture. And we help our kids to understand that and to learn that. And all of these classes that we have. But we show those parents this magazine. And I say, kids, let me have 5 minutes with your parents real quick. I want to tell them why we are doing these classes. Because as you open up that article, it tells the exact reason why we are teaching these subjects. Why we're making it available. Because we believe that the truths of God's creation as God, as the creator, need to be taught to all so that they can be able to defend their faith and to grow their faith. So let me share with you just a little bit about the classes. And I have had to cut this way down because typically we could go all day with this. But I want to share with you the different classes that we host. very quickly try to give you an overview of the classes. I will encourage you that if you want to take a look at much more detail, you can go to our website at maidensix.com. There is much more information about these classes, a little bit more about what we're doing. But we do have classes from kindergartners on through up. And the first class that we offer is a class that is called Made by God. That is intended for early readers who are 6 to 8 years of age. And these are very simple to do. And the reason that I mention this is because as a congregation, you're going to become involved in this, there are going to be those needs for teachers to step up. There is going to be those needs for those people to come and to assist with some of the things that are going on in this class. But I want you to know these are some of the easiest classes to teach because we simply take these books that Apologetic Press has put out. They have 12 in this early reader series. God made the world. That's where we start. Because we get to get into the creation account and we look at the 6 days of creation and we lay out what God made on each day. And we talk about how each day was a literal 24-hour period of time. And we take a look at how it is that we have a relatively young earth, some 6,000 to 8,000 years of age. And these are things that they never hear anywhere else. And so they read these beautifully produced books from Apologetics Press, and all we do is we simply sit there, and whoever the teacher is, Bob, do you want to read the first page? And these kids, first day or two, they're a little timid, but after that, you can't shut them up. If you ever had kids like that, they're so willing to read. And so for about the first 35 minutes of each class, we first class is God made the world, then God made animals. Each week, a new book. Each week, we send home with them the books that we read. These are cheap enough. They're cheaper than tracts. We put a sticker in many of them that says, these are from your friends at the Owosso Church of Christ. Thank you for coming and being part of that. If you have any questions, you can reach us at phone number, email address. We encourage them later on when those they have no longer reading those to pass them along. Some of the things that we do in these classes, our God Made Birds book, 28 pages, we read those pages. Along the way, our brethren at Apologetics Press have made excellent short videos that go along with the reading. 2 and 3 minute videos. The Mallee Fowl. How it is that God has designed the Mallee Fowl, how he is going to make sure that that nest, which is a large mound, the Australian brush turkey, if you don't know what the Mallee Fowl is, he's got a tongue that is going to stick down into the ground, and he's going to be able to determine if that ground is too hot or too cold, and he's going to either put on or he's going to remove materials off of that so that those eggs that are being incubated are going to be at the right temperature. Who did that? God did that. That's not just an act of randomness. And so we talk about that. We show 3 or 4 of these videos. We break up our reading with videos. At the end of that class, we sit and we make a little craft that reminds us of what we did. This class, God Made Birds, we simply talked about the giant albatross. The giant albatross has a wingspan of some 12 feet. And so we created a very simple feather boa on a stick. Every one of those kids wanted to hold that 12-foot wingspan albatross. And then we send them home with a little craft, God Made Birds, on day 5. That's the class. But what's exciting about this is that week after week, course after course, parents are bringing their kids back. And they're starting to understand that what we teach them is from the truth of God's word. And they start to trust us beyond just God made the birds and God made the animals. So the next age group, this is the level 3 readers which we use. This is our Designed by God class. The books from Apologetics Press are Amazing Designs by God. And so we talk about biomimicry, how it is that we as humans look at nature around us. We look at the creation around us and we see the evidence of a creator and we take from nature and we make things that are going to help us in our own lives. And this is where we saw Brady and Presley. And you will see on the end of this class, 2 little girls that y'all may recognize. Now, they are sticking their tongues out. That's my fault. Because we were looking at amazing tongues designed by God. So in that class, we read those books, and we read about God's creation, and we read about how God designed all these animals in specific and special ways, and how God created you and me in very special ways. And again, at the end of class, we do something that will remind them. Of course, our memory verses are always put on these, and there's a lot of that, and we have that class. Next week, they come back, and there's another one. Very quickly, I'm running through these. There's the books that we use for that particular one. Amazing Beauty Designed by God, Amazing Copies of God's Design, Amazing Dinosaurs Created by God or Designed by God. And we have these classes. The parents are appreciative of it. Again, these are just door-opening opportunities. Let us not forget that what we're trying to do is not just have a number of kids that come to our classes. There is a benefit of that. But what is our follow-up beyond that? Very quickly, I'll mention as our kids progress, we then have a class that is based on the book, How Do We Know the Bible is from God, where we get to call it, we call it the Inspired by God class, where we get to lay out where the Bible came from. How can we know that it truly is God's Word? We lay out Old Testament, the purpose of the Old Testament. We lay out the New Testament, the purpose of the New Testament. We are now in this class as part of the fun stuff that we do. We create a big Bible which lays out all the major time periods and many of the major events, but it gets to the New Testament church, and we are starting to be able to teach these kids about the New Testament church that our Lord came and gave his life for, how the church is patterned. They've never heard this before, but because the parents have trusted us, they've been in these other classes, they are now sitting there, and I'll show some testimonials from some parents here in just a moment. They are sitting in these classes, and they're learning as much as their kids are. Becca came up to me, and she said, after one of our classes, I didn't know that. I think it was about the eye, the human eye. Folks, materials have already been prepared. We're not having to do anything. AP, these are scientists. These are scholarly men who have written these materials. They've made them as a resource to, as I've been talking with them, they said, Randall, we just never thought about using them in that way. We just put the material out. They have blessed me with truckloads and truckloads of the materials that we have to pass out to share with congregations. So that's a class that we do have. And again, you're going to see a lot of the same kids because we have this. This is one of our most popular classes. This is offered for grades 3rd through 4th grade, typically 4th, 5th grade, but this is in the class Dinosaurs Unleashed. Where else are our kids told falsehoods about Exodus 20, verse 11? For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. They never put dinosaurs into that because the world doesn't. But this book from Apologetics Press, it's an excellent book. We sit, and again, we could have as many kids as we wanted to, but usually it's overwhelming how many kids that we have come. And we sit for 6 to 8 weeks, and we talk about fossilization, and we take a look at how is it possible that there were dinosaurs on the ark, and we take a look at how would the dinosaurs have died, and we take a look at all these things, and members of the church, they're involved. We've got a gentleman who goes out, and he draws for me a dinosaur graveyard. Owosso congregation has a very large field there, and we have each week 3 to 4 new dinosaurs that are drawn to scale so that they can go out with their dinosaur journals and they can write all of these evidences about the dinosaurs that we're finding, and we fit it into what God says. God's creation, and we talk about how all of the things that they're learning is going to equip them for a faithful life. We won't have time to go into these. We have classes such as The Reality of Noah's Ark. There's a lot of attacks on how the global flood, could it really have happened? Could Noah really have fit? 500 million is what the world said. 500 million different species. And we talk to them, well, Scripture doesn't say that. Scripture says kind, and we talk about that. We talk about animals, and then we talk about the account of Noah. Our 7th and 8th grade class is a class that we entitle Fine-Tuned by God, Intelligent Design. Means an intelligent designer. And so we talk about all of those things. And then we come to our flooded class, which is a book from Apologetics Press by Brother Jeff Miller. He is a brilliant gentleman. And that class is talking about the science surrounding the biblical flood. And so we're helping these kids be able to defend attacks on that biblical flood. We also have this class, and we've got several others. We've got a one-time class that we are offering and waiting on some robotics to come in, but talking about intelligent design, intelligent designer, bioluminescence, and we're approaching fathers. We want moms come to these classes because they're typically during the day. We do have dads, but we want dads to step up, and we want dads to come with their children. And so we invite dads of 6 to 10-year-olds to bring their kids and sit with us for 2 hours as we introduce the designer of all things. Here's the response. This is a Facebook post, and we won't be able to look at all of that, but this is a mom who came to our Inspired by God class. And this is what happens. Parents, kids, they get involved in things, and parents start posting things on Facebook of what their kids are doing. This mom went home from this class, and she started to post about the things that their kids were learning in this class. We talked about the materials that original scripture was written on. Clay, tablets of stone, leather, papyrus. And in this class, we went out and we buried in clay jars, we buried some old manuscripts, old scrolls, and some were written in Hebrew and some in Aramaic and some in Greek, and we would go dig those up and then we would translate. So we got to talk about the translation process, how it is that we got the word from God all the way down to our English Bible. And of course, this mom posts on this, and she is promoting. You guys need to see what's happening down at the Owosso Church of Christ. You need to see what's going on at the Owosso School of Biblical Studies. She tagged Apologetics Press. AP jumped on there and said, we've got a Bible class curriculum too. We know of at least 2 denominational groups in Owosso who are now using Apologetics Press material prepared by our brethren in their congregations. This is happening all over the country. Parents are posting. Here is another post. This was after a first class. We had an awesome time this morning down at the Owosso School of Biblical Studies. Classes are available. They're free of charge. This is what we talked about. You need to contact them. Let me ask you this. When was the last time that denominational groups around Sand Springs said, your kids need to go down to the Sand Springs Church of Christ because what they are offering there is not what they're not getting anywhere else? Just imagine what this does for our registration. We have calls from all over the world. This week I got messages from Uganda. I see these classes. Do you offer them in Uganda? We have a whole world that is interested in listening to the truths of their Creator and the way that we can do it. So this mom posted that. Here's another one. A mom says, hey, she had posted about the kids' class that they were taking at Catoosa. First thing, can I have some more details? We never have to do any more advertisement because it's being done for us. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do any more, but it's more than I can handle. There's more kids that are being brought to these classes than we can handle, that we can handle and make sure that we're having the follow-up with the parents. Same lady, she posted somebody else, hey, where is this class? They're posting the things that we had put out in our community. They're sharing all of this. Over and over again, they are putting out materials, or they are putting out information about this. That's a very quick rundown. I want us to go back to Matthew chapter 13 because there is a third time that the word joy is mentioned. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. Jesus is telling another parable, that is the parable of the hidden treasure. Jesus says in verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven. Of course, we know that to be the church. The church. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and with joy over it, he sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Folks, we have joy for what we have within the Lord's church. Ephesians chapter 1 is all about the spiritual blessings that we find in Christ. Being in Christ means that we are in the church. There is a joy that we have, and there is a joy that the people around us, that they are looking for, which we have. Anything that the church has related to it, the teachings of foundational truths of Genesis chapter 1 verse 11, that is a joy that God wants for us to have, and he wants for us to share. You continue through this idea of joy through the book of Matthew. You come to the last chapter in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus has died. He has been risen again on the third day. We read about how it is that the ladies, they came to the women. They said, "Do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here, for he is risen. As he has said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And quickly go and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Verse 8. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Folks, we have a message of a Savior. John chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, that he was the creator of all things. Nothing was made without him that was made. John chapter 1 verse 3. We're teaching foundational truths of Genesis chapter 1 verse 11. You say we're not teaching Jesus. Who was the creator? Jesus was. And we're getting ready to introduce that to these kids, and we're getting opportunities after opportunities to do so, and we have joy in doing so. Let me mention the last two times that the word joy is found in the book of Matthew. We know the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. How it was that the master was leaving and he left with one 5 talents, he left with another 2 talents, and with another he left 1 talent. We remember what was taking place there. The one with the 5 talents, what did he do? He went out and he worked for the Lord. He took the talents that he had and he doubled the talents that he had. He took what had been given to him and he shared that, and he created more opportunities. Same thing with the man with 2 talents. And what is said about those two men? Matthew chapter 25, as we come to the end of that parable, we read, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" At the beginning of the book of Matthew, we're told about the joy that we have in Jesus Christ, of what he was going to do, of what he has done. At the end of the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 28, he is resurrected. What he had done is what we have joy over. In between all of that, we have a joy of sharing the word of God, taking opportunities that are being presented to us, and as simple as hogs, dogs, and frogs, is opening hundreds and thousands of doors all over this country and beyond. There's a lot more that I would like to share with you. I held your elders captive for about 2 hours that night. They see the benefit of this, and what they want me to help you understand is there is a benefit. They would love for this congregation to have volunteers to say, "Hey, we want to help with this." But we remember what Jesus says in Luke chapter 15. Again, not in the 6 times that it's mentioned in the book of Matthew, but the joy of our Lord is mentioned again in Luke. When it comes to our responsibility as Christians, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16, there are elders and preachers and teachers and pastors, and they were for a specific purpose, for the equipping of the saints. What we're trying to do in the Lord's church, we're trying to equip each other for the work of ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 doesn't stop there. It's not just about equipping of the saints, it's edifying of the body. These classes are building up not only these kids and those families that are out there, but it is also building up and encouraging the bodies that are located or that are participating in this. We think about the 30, we talk about our evangelistic efforts. As Christians, we need to be involved in all aspects of those. If not, are we truly being faithful Christians? Jesus says in Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance." There is a joy that awaits us in heaven, but there is a joy that is here within the Lord's church as we participate in the works. Whether it's this work, whether it's in any evangelistic work, each and every one of us have a responsibility to our Lord to say, "Come and take a look." We have just tried to make it easy by saying, "Can you share a Facebook post?" So through our page and through some things, we've got generous folks who have helped us with some website design, and the website's not completely done, but we're going to make sure that congregations, they don't have to run registration pages. A lot of times they're like, "Hey, we don't know how to do this." And so what we are trying to help congregations do, they don't have to do anything. We want them to be able to go to the website. We want them to say, okay, we're going to have this class, we're going to do it this time. Registration will be taking place. They'll get all that information. They don't have to do anything about that. There's a teacher resource for congregations who want to see what it is that we've done. And so there's a private tab that's going to be on there where they can take a look and how we teach these classes. And if they want to use that material, that's great. We have made it as simple as possible for somebody just to say, come and sit down with us and let's read about how God made the world. You will be amazed at the world that will come to our doors. We are expecting, and we're not tracking numbers because we can't. We go to congregation and just say, hey, do it. But we are expecting this year some 10 to 15,000 kids all over the country will be participating in a class somewhere throughout the country, with 95% of those kids having no association with the Lord's church, and they're going to come back time and time again. If you want to hear more, if you have specific questions, I'll be here. Ask me. But think about that passage there. Are we truly doing the work of Christians? Are we being involved in the work of ministry? If not, we need to be. This is one way for us to do. If you are not right with God today, maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you have come in contact with His blood through the waters of baptism. Maybe you need the prayers of encouragement of this congregation, and maybe you need that in a public way. And so we would love to pray for you and encourage you here in just a moment. Maybe you're not a child of God. Maybe you have never done what the Bible says, having been baptized for the remission of your sins. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that we must come into contact with to have our sins washed away. And if you have not done that, or if you don't understand what that means, I know that you've got preachers and elders here who would love to sit down and show you in Scripture why Scripture says that. If you're not a child of God this morning, I know that the waters of baptism are ready. If you're ready to submit to our Lord, having your sins washed away, to walk in newness of life, we have that opportunity as well this morning. I hope this morning has brought some joy to you about the things that are going on in the Lord's church, but nothing would bring greater joy today than to help to encourage you. If we can help you in any way, let's stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in